You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, you're listening to the Wig Hackers Podcast, where you get the real feeling of what goes on working on the hair side of the entertainment industry.
Wig Hackers Podcast, I have an amazing guest who we go back a little ways together. Crystal Joy Brown. What?
Whoa, I'll be my own. Yay, Crystal Joy Brown's in the house. Woo, woo. Yeah, there it is.
I'll add some.
That's what I get. That's like extra sad when you're by yourself. Like my dog is sitting under me, like looking up at me like, oh, you're so sad. You're so sad.
No.
Yes, hello. It's good to see your beautiful face and see your quaffing hair.
Oh, you know, like, my hair.
Your hair just looks great. Yeah, it looks great. Oh, I saw that post that you put up with the shaved head.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people are at a place where they're like, just shave it off.
A lot. I've been getting so many. I'm like, no, don't do it. You can do it. You can handle it. But yeah, They're not. They're shaving their heads.
I mean, I'm on every type of vitamin. And maybe you can tell me like what I should use to grow my hair, because my hair was actually like, I'm Black, Puerto Rican, Native American. My hair grade is very bizarre. Like, I don't know what it is. It's not very, very curly. It's not very,
yes,
put your fingers in there.
We've done a photo shoot, remember?
I don't perm my hair anymore.
Good.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So I'm saying, like, you know, and I'm literally now just asking for advice. Like, we haven't even done anything, and I'm just like, hi, can you help me? I'm struggling. But I've taken moon juice.
Okay.
I take the super hair. I've taken seed.
Biotin.
Every B you can think of, B complex, whatever. I've done all of it. So I need to
working?
I mean, it's like, I do have my edges back, that they came back last year.
Yay. They went away for a while, huh?
Yeah, you know, like, that's the thing with wearing wigs all the time and hair pieces. And like, I'm so excited now that black, like being black is in, so we can wear our natural hair. But then it's never our natural hair. Like, I'm looking at my friends on TV and I'm like, they're setting your hair, but it looks natural. They're like, oh, we're good with curly hair now on TV,
yes,
you know, which is nice. You know, they're like, curly hair is not offensive.
Literally. I mean, I was just fighting on my last show about it. Like, no, we need to, I want it. Like, I actually want texture. Like, yeah. I don't care what kind of curl. I really don't. I just want texture seen on television.
Well, that's why you're amazing, because you work with all colors and shades and predominantly the ladies of color. Like, you predominantly see, from what I understand, from what I know of your career, like, you, and that is, I mean, that's a large swath of grades of hair and types of hair. So that's always like interesting to me.
And I
have
it.
A whole wig bag.
Yeah. I actually have that question.
I don't know what my texture is. Yeah.
Well, oh, have you ever let it just grow out and not do anything to it?
I'm like Diana Ross.
You?
I've been doing that for like the last 2 years, or like year and a half.
So they don't need a wig for you anymore. You can just.
And I'm not really satisfied. Well, I think my hair grows really slow. My hair was, when I was a kid, it was like down to the middle of my back, now it's like I chopped it to like my.
Why?
Like, I've chopped it several times, and then now it's like, I know. I chopped
it. We did your pony with the two microphones and the little poof.
Yes.
That was a rough one. That was a rough show for you.
Woo-hoo! Yes, it was. Oh my God, I thought that was going to be my first and last Broadway show. Here I am 5 shows later.
Like,
I did. I left that show. Oh. So here was my Broadway debut. I was a baby. And I was the first person to replace someone. And I replaced Saycon, legendary, wonderful woman. I replaced her, and they called me Saycon's track for the entire like 9 months I was there. They never called me Crystal. You know who you are. And so I left the show to go do a 4-person show in a church basement in New Jersey that Kathleen Marshall was directing for $325 a week, something like ridiculous like that.
I remember this.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was crazy. But it was like, I mean, I, you know, it's like I have a lot of friends that are not in the business. And the thing is that like high school just seems to follow you everywhere. You know, we all get stuck in these archetypes of high school. And it's like, especially when things are going well and it's like, well, we're kind of fly, like we're cool. So we don't even know if you're cool yet. So prove that you're cool or not. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm cool at all. And then like you realize that you're not cool and you're like, I should probably leave. But it was weird because like Broadway was my dream as a kid, you know? And I was like, this is the epitome of my dreams. Like this is like happening. And it was just a tough group to jump into. Like, you know, that was over 10 years ago. Now it's like, Jesus. We're cool. And I've gotten emails and text messages, you know, who you are, apologies, you know, and like, you know, for the group mentality of like kind of bullying and stuff like that. And I've just been like, I appreciate that, you know? And it also made me clear of like the kind of people I need to have around me while going through this journey, like the kind of friends I need, the kind of things I need to do for myself, how to take care of myself. Wellness is like a big thing. And I think a lot of it stirred and came up from that experience on Broadway. And I'm just glad that I didn't allow it to like completely, you know, destroy my confidence.
Yeah.
And I had people like you, like there were a few people that were like my safe harbor in the building, you know? And so I would just latch on to those people. And you were definitely one of them. And then we got to do 3 more Broadway shows together.
I know. It was like, kind of like, oh, I guess we're going to the next show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, you're here?
Yeah. Oh, yay.
Because then we went on from that. Yeah. We did Big Fish, right?
No, Leap of Faith was first.
Leap of Faith. Oh.
Yes. R.I.P.
Yeah, that 3-minute show. Oh, but it was a lot of fun. Did you have fun on that one? I never got to really see you. Except for our one moment on that one side when you were pregnant.
It's Big Fish.
Oh, that's...
Ugh. Big Fish, I was pregnant. Leap of Faith, I was not pregnant. Leap of Faith, I was like a trollop. Yes. I was on Broadway, I was a reformed trollop. When I did it in LA with Rob Ashford as the director, I was just the trollop. And then I was, my love interest was Leslie Odom Jr., who originated Aaron Burr in Hamilton. Yep, and then when we moved to Broadway, he was my brother. So that was a leap of faith. That was
there was a lot of changes though from LA to New York.
Yeah, there were. I mean, directors, right. Number one, like Chris Ashley came in, Sergio came in.
Right.
And
a lot of songs changed. Like I know you had a lot of changes in your notes.
You can't, like, the audience can't see my face right now. But
no, they can't, no.
That he's laughing at my face because I'm just like, yeah. You know what?
Because we really...
Collaborating and creating is a lot.
We didn't
It's really... my joy in life to create. I'm trying to hold it together. I'm trying to, like, spin this, like...
It was great.
I swear, there's a reason to do Broadway. I swear, I love it. Like, it is just hard, and it's just so much, and it's wonderful, but it is so much, and there's so many personalities, and so many things are at stake, because if it doesn't go right, your show closes, and you end up still performing on the Tonys. It was a very tough year, even though the show's not there.
Like, and the wigs are still in a bag somewhere.
Somewhere. I'm always trying to get my wigs in my contract. They won't give them to me.
Why?
I can never get them. I can never get them.
You need to, you just need to put me in your contract already. That's the problem. Just talk to Danny. That's it.
I try putting people in my contract lately, and it's just not, you know, Broadway.
Or just get hair from.
It used to be. No. Yeah.
The Broadway.
No, well, I mean, old lady Broadway.
Broadway's a little different now. A little different.
Yeah.
Because now, okay, so you're the voice of She-Ra. We have to add that in there, trying to bring you around.
Okay, so let's Leap of Faith happened. Okay. We were open for 2 weeks. Technically, we closed, and then we got nominated for Best Musical that year, and then we had to still, even though we were super closed for like 2 months, we had to go and do the Tonys. And it was great, because I was like, that was the first time doing the Tonys. I got nominated for a Fred Astaire Award, which is a dance award. I didn't win, but that's okay. It's just about being nominated, right? Being recognized.
by your peers. It's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, so it was great. And then the next year, Danny and I did Big Fish, which was another show that didn't really last very long. But I was pregnant in that show as well. Yes.
So that's where we had our moments, because since Hair, we really bonded. Like, we had moments. I was actually Crystal's hair person. Then the other two shows, they just would not give her to me for some odd reason. Anyway.
I don't even remember what my hair was. I was almost a blonde. Yeah, I was more of a blonde in LA. Like, I had more of a blonde thing going on. And then I had not blonde anymore on Broadway.
Then not.
They were like, blonde. Well, you're too much. They're like, you use your hands too much. You sing too high, too loud. Just knock it off.
Just tone you down from hair color.
Yeah, they're like,
no high notes. Like, yeah, no high singing.
Hot. Yeah, a little. And then I was like, I'm going to sing hot. So this would happen. So one day I decided to sing the song how I wanted to sing the song.
It was great.
And I ended up getting an ovation in the middle of the song. And everything stopped. And people were on their feet applauding. And then it was like, I saw the director and he was like, oh, I bet you feel really vindicated right now. And I was like, kinda.
I remember the day very
It was,
very
yeah. Clearly. I mean, there was only a few shows, so. I know. Yeah, but that was a very special moment to me, because I felt like I don't defy very often. I'm not very defiant. I'm actually really a team player. And so I was very nervous to do it, but I was like, you know what? This is the last time I'm going to be able to do this. This is the absolute last time. So I'd rather do it and get reprimanded than, you know.
Than the other way around.
Ooh, fire. It was canceled. So I was just like, let's do it and let's see what would happen. And I'm so glad that I learned that about myself, just to, you know, free myself for 5 seconds, just to see what it would feel like to, like, just go with my gut.
Mm-hmm. And go for what you feel.
And it paid off. You know, it paid off just to have that one moment. And then I could remember that moment in my brain later on down the line when I needed to pull from memories of, like, times that I stood up for myself or times that I tried something different and that it was a success, you know?
Mm-hmm. I know this is a wig podcast and hair has not been talked about, but I think it's just because it was so good. You really didn't have any up to this point. I don't know from this point forward, your hair experience.
Yeah.
Like, what was the hardest part of a hair experience you've had so far? You know what I mean?
Motown. Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Oh, yeah. Like, if you had this is going to be a rough one. Do you know what I mean? Like, either whatever, just like the fit
I had
or.
13 wigs. Yeah, I did 13, I think, wigs in Motown.
Jeez. And yeah.
So that was crazy.
Poor hair.
Yeah, which is why I was like, my edges are back, everybody. Let's applaud the edges being back.
My God.
Yeah, and it was like quick changes, like walk off stage and you have a 15-second quick change. So everything has to be like ripped off, ripped on, ripped off, ripped on. I mean, a lot of my clothes were just held together by magnets. So it was just, it was wild.
And then didn't your dress get cut off?
And then it's Diana.
At the Tonys?
My dress got...
Like cut?
No.
Or was it, what was it? Was it, was it Easter Bonnet?
Not me.
Wasn't you?
No.
But someone wore your dress and they cut it, right?
No. Oh, maybe. I think that was a different, I don't know.
It was probably your understudy who went on and she came
for Easter Bonnet.
For Easter Bonnet.
Oh my gosh. Yes, like, now I remember.
Okay.
Easter Bonnet, it was the understudy and that did happen. Okay. Yes.
I thought it was you. I'm sorry, I'm old.
Luckily, it was not my dress. The dresses in that show were like $20,000 each.
Geez.
They were like Bob Mackie, hand-beaded ridiculousness. The wigs in that show were so beautiful. And like, it's the 60s, and it's like the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. So hair was just so iconic. And the hair told the story, you know? Like, yeah, the hair in that show tells the story of the time, because we're going through basically a 40-year period. And it's like very like, you know, from the 50s and even like with the men's wigs and like, you know, having like the cut in the hair.
Yeah,
the parts in the hair and like the textured, and then it goes to like afros and what was going on there. And then what was going on like with
how many hair people were on that show? Wasn't there a lot? Wasn't there like
seven? There was a lot because there was like 270 something wigs.
See, guys, there's like so many wigs on shows and most people don't even know, you know? Yeah. So,
well, in Leap of Faith, it rained at the end.
Oh, I can't.
We had that other.
full.
So that was another.
A 20-minute raining sesh.
The entire, yes.
Everyone sounded dancing like a baby rain. Diaper. Because they would all put on.
Unfortunate.
On shower caps under their wigs. So everyone would walk around and sound like a baby in a diaper. It was quite a story.
So that was definitely a weird one. Like to go back and think about that and just like, you know, just and then
fully
you're just
soaked.
Yeah. And then you always just feel bad. You're like, you like walk backstage and you're like, here, you know, you like
completely, you know, soaked.
Give people give them back to the lovely wig people. And they're like, well, got to completely reset that. And then you have to have doubles. You have to have like,
and it took us forever to get the doubles though for our 2-minute run that we had, but it happened.
It did. So Motown was definitely challenging with the quick changes. And like all of the different cuts and styles of the wigs were cool. And I loved.
How long did you do that for?
A year. Yeah. I took over for Valicia and I loved it. It was amazing. The talent was just ridiculous. I mean, like every single person from that show has now gone on to do Hamilton and now is leading in something. Like they're just, it was just an amazing talent pool of black and brown artists. And it was the first time I really got to be like in a brown people show, you know, like,
always the thing though, to be honest, like even hair, even like every time they didn't get it, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Because that was always been a thing I know we talked about with hair. Yeah. Like, this is white girl hair, you know? And especially
this is what white people think that black hair looks
right.
like.
Right.
Yeah.
And they just didn't, no one really got it. But
yeah.
But now.
I think it's sometimes hard. I think it's hard for me, even in my like daily life, even in film and TV, when I am like doing wigs and stuff there. Like, yes. Because my hair, like I was talking about the grade of my hair and the texture of my hair, is so nebulous. I mean, like I said, I'm black, Puerto Rican, Native American. I don't know what this hair texture is. Like it kind of curls, it's kind of a wave, it's kind of straight. Like if I brush it out when it's wet, it's straight. If I don't and let it curl up, then it'll be like a kind of a curl. So it's also accepting that like brown people are so different, you know, like my hair isn't gonna look like this. And if I shave my head like Wakanda style, it's not gonna look as good as like Lupita, you know, like that's just not gonna look good on my face, you know, like I'm just gonna look like I'm not well.
Would you ever do that? Would you ever cut it off for a role?
Look at my forehead. My forehead is so big that I can't imagine, like my friend Andrea Bordeaux, which is one of the most beautiful black women that I've ever seen in my life. And she's about to be a star on a star show. She shaved her head. And she's booking, working. And it's like amazing, but she doesn't have a 5 head like I do. Like I'm doing it for Danny. You guys can't see this, but I'm showing that I have a proper 5-finger forehead. It is, if people say like, I look like Rihanna, and I'm like, no, I don't. You just see the forehead. She also has a large forehead.
Wow. So do you have all your wigs like, make it lower? Do you make them give you a hairline?
Oh yeah,
you make them bring it down. Okay, no, I just want.
Yeah, I'm like, and also to protect my edges. Now I've learned.
Now you're like, bring it in 2 inches
forward. Yeah, bring it in and give me like a nice little silhouette. Like, give me like a regular size forehead. So that would be nice. So yes, that is another thing that I've been like when I came into Hamilton. I was like, yeah, can we just scooch that down a bit? So yeah, I would love to just like. Toss things on my head and just like and be bald. That would be awesome. Hamilton is great. I mean, when it is happening.
Well, of course.
Oh my God. No, it's another. I mean, honestly, it's like I left Broadway for 3.5 years and I was out in LA like doing film and TV, writing, directing.
You directed Black Girl Magic.
No. Where are you doing this stuff? What is Black Girl Magic?
That's
Ready Record.
What? Ready Record? Yeah. Okay, well, I'll edit that out.
Yeah, Ready Record. Okay, so I directed a short called Ready Records with Sierra Renee.
She's coming on this week, Thursday.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So we're working on that. And then, yes, so then I started doing other things and I did, you know, I learned about myself is that, like, I'm not just an actor. I want to be considered more of an artist and I want to be a storyteller. Like, that's really what I am. So if I can sing it, great, dance it, act it, write it, direct it, produce it. I love telling stories.
You kill it in all areas, though. Like, you can sing, you can act, you can dance. And, like, not just, like, you don't just, like double step. Like, you dance. You know what I mean? Like, you're a triple threat. And I think that's where a lot of people get threatened by you, you know?
Well, thank you. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I'm so all love. Like, I am so sensitive and I'm so, like, I want to be friends with everybody. I want everyone to like me. And it's, like, always funny when, like, you have to remember that this is a business and people are insecure and people are competitive and it's hard, you know? And I think when the industry, like, gets rid of that gunk, it is the most beautiful place to live. Like, it is the most beautiful place to have a home. You know, like when it's like, you're like, these are my people and we're all artists and we're all living our art. Like, that's another ring of just like being in that peaceful place. But there's a lot of, just like with any industry, there's always some, you know, there's like competitive, it's a very competitive world. We're competitive sport is what I'm thinking. Like, it is a competitive sport.
Who's better than the last one? And then especially—
You're as good as your last job. Right. You're always trying to stay valued, stay relevant, which is hard to kind of constantly one-up yourself. And you're also extremely competitive with yourself. You know,
in your own mind.
What is my last job? Like, how am I valuable? I also have to like say how much I'm worth. I have to tell companies, like, they can say, okay, well, we'll pay you $5,000 for this. And you're like, all right, well, if I start going with that, then I have to, you know, like, or you have to value yourself. And that's a whole other component to learn as you go. And so you're valuing yourself, you're competitive and all this stuff. And it's just like, ugh, all the stuff that I hate, you know, like all the stuff that I hate, but that's the business, you know, but the art is like my favorite thing. Being in the recording booth doing Shira is like magical. Doing 100 auditions to get a role like Shira, Not my favorite. Like, all the other gunk that goes around, like, the fact that it takes 2 years for us to put out the show is insane. I mean, the amount of work that goes behind the scenes to get stuff happening is a lot, you know, and that's the hard part, is, like, the waiting, the being patient, the, like, okay, guys, don't worry, like, I am working on things, but, like, I've signed NDAs, and then things are
I can't talk about it.
Or the whole project got Me Too'd. Like, there's so many things that happen, you know, like, where you're just like riding a roller coaster. But it's amazing. And I think that artists are lucky in this period. Like, it sucks if you were in a Broadway show and your show, or any type of theater show, tour, or whatever, and your show is questionable when it's gonna come back, if it's gonna come back this year. Like, those are thoughts I have right now. Like, am I gonna have my job this year? But the thing with the artist spirit is that we're kind of used to having a schedule that is up and down and busy and not, you know, like you're saying, you had the 2 months and you were like, all right,
I'm ready.
Things are about to pick back up, and you kind of had that holiday period and you're like, okay, the spring is going to be the time I start popping, you know, things are going to go off. And then
not so much.
Corona, you know, who would have, I kept having dreams that, like, and this is funny because I kept thinking, I've been with the show technically 5 months before we closed, but I had only done 3 months of performances. And so I was kind of in this place where I was like, all right, well, I'm going to like pay off all like debts and then start saving. And then, trying to be responsible.
Yeah.
And planning it all out. And I had this premonition. I was like, what if something happened? I was like, I can slow this down. I was like, my rent's like pretty expensive. I live in Midtown Manhattan. I live walking distance from work. So I'm like, I just gotta be like a little bit safe just in case. And thank God I did not buy that Alice and Olivia coat that I wanted. Thank God I did. I was like, no, you don't deserve it yet. Just put something in your account. But that's the thing. Like, we live in this kind of survival mode thing. When things are great, you know, you're like, I just did a movie.
But I got to say,
when's my next movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, 'cause you can, like, 1 year I can make $500,000 and the next year I make $17,000 and the next year I make whatever, you know what I mean? So right. It's just like, it varies.
There's
and
no
so we're
consistency.
Kind of used to this. And so I think we have a little bit of perspective on like the times of like, okay, things can go up and down. The problem with the theater world right now is that we were the first to be this impacted and we're going to be the last to come back.
Yes.
I mean, and look at like our relationship, you and me, like artist, like you touch me, like you have right. to like be, I have to be under your breath.
Right. Like we are literally.
Trash, by the way.
Yay. That is one thing I'm always paranoid about. That's why I always have mint and I always have gum. Mm-hmm. Like it's not even a thing. It's a hard thing. Because I'm
yeah. So when a makeup artist or a hair person doesn't have like a mint in their like in their what is it called their like tool belt of things, yeah. I'm like, really?
None.
I'm like, yeah, your kit. I'm like, we should both have a mint before we start this journey together. We should both have a mint. Anyway, but so the thing is, we have to be so close in the theater. We have to not only like,
I mean, in every point of view.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm doing more TV now, so like changing locations, changing sets, all these background people.
Yeah, I mean, and think about that. Like you're doing a shot, you've doodled the person up, they're on set. Now you have to go back and you have to touch them to do touch-ups. So then you have to think like, where have I put my hands? Have I sanitized? And then you're also then spraying maybe alcohol on your hands over and over and
100%.
Over. And it's just like, it just becomes this thing. So it's going to be hard, even with the TV and film world, to get back in that close contact, because no matter what, we're all very, very close. Film and TV and theater, like we're
theater
all
is even closer
very,
in my, from my, like they're a little bit spread out in TV and film, like hair and makeup and wardrobe, but theater, it is cluster, like wigs are coming off, clothing's coming off, you know, 14 people on one quick change.
But there's so
exactly.
many things
like, that
there's
it
just
could
so many
be.
Like other body fluids. Yeah. Just, you know, you always hear in a theater, like if one person gets sick, you're like, well,
everyone.
I'm about to get that flu. Like it's
right.
going to go around. Like it's always going to go around. And so, I'm optimistic. I don't think that this government knows what they're doing. I mean, I appreciate everything that Cuomo's been trying to do with like very little help, but I'm very concerned with like just the fact that we have no real direction and we're like, oh, let's open things up, but there's no real treatment yet. There's no real path. So that makes me nervous. And like just the idea of theater, I'm like, thank God I do other things. And thank God, like I can kind of,
I think that's the one thing as a creative to have more than one thing, which I think smart people nowadays are doing more than one thing because they know we can't afford to just do one or the other. Do you know what I mean? Like for me, Broadway could not afford me to do what I do today if I was still on Broadway as much as I want to, but that's why I moved on to television film, make a couple extra dollars. But then it's more cutthroat and more bitchy and more high school than ever before in my life.
Right.
So,
what is that? Like, why can't we just enjoy
like
the ride? You know, like everybody just fucking enjoy your life.
We're
it's
not
okay.
curing cancer. Like,
yeah, like we're trying to get people to be compassionate. Don't be an asshole. How about that? Like, you know, it's very interesting. I mean, yeah. And that's the thing about the theater and like the pay is okay. You know, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's survival, it's passion. Like Hamilton is, there was like, I had a promise to myself. I was like, I'm not going back to Broadway unless it's Hamilton or something new because I love Hamilton. I think it's a crazy, amazing show. I think it's so smart. It actually has restored some of my pride in this country. And gotten me excited to tell the story of that. And also with brown and black bodies, like telling this story, I think it's so essential to just like us seeing ourselves, even if it's not the slave story, but it's like, no, we were there, you know, like we were all there. And there's something beautiful to that. And so I love that, but it's like theater is so hard and you're there, it's 6 days a week, 8 shows a week. And I mean, with a TV show, you're kind of like, you're there, it's more like if it's a successful show, they really run it like a 9-to-5, you know, and you kind of start, you have like a little bit of a life, you know, you can do things. You're not thinking constantly about freezing your eggs.
I see where we're at. All right.
I mean, I'm just saying. Like
the hair conversation and the hair chair to this conversation, completely, we have all matured.
Yeah.
Like we really have learned a lot about
it. Eggs are maturing constantly at the speed of light, you know? So
but
there's
your edges
that.
Are back.
That's yes, my edges are back. My kitchen is, yeah, they're
Look at it.
I tried to lay them for you like a little bit. Like I tried to give you like a...
I got a text. Is this being videotaped? I'm like,
yeah. And I thought it was. And so I have makeup on, but not a lot. Because it was midway through the makeup. So I was like, oof, nope, I'm done.
Nope, done.
I put it down. And he's like, no. I was like, great.
No.
But, you know, hair has always been...
Has
hair
it
is such a big part of the
like,
character.
What is the, like, what's the most effective, like, you know, how do I say it? Like, what is the most, like... hair conscious you ever were, like where
Diana
you're
Diana Ross. Diana Ross, of course, because her hair is so iconic. Essential to who she is. Like it is iconic and to like how she moves, like how she moves with the hair, what she's doing, her hair and nails. Like her hair and nails to me were two things that were just like the definition of beauty, especially at that period. Yes. Like this, she had this big, long, wavy goddess-like hair and then these long nails. And long nails to me represents like you don't do dishes. You know, you don't actually, like you don't work that hard when it comes to like manual labor. You know what I mean?
Right?
And her hair is long, like that's another thing. Like that just gives you this vision of like goddess, like I'm healthy, my hair is long, my nails are long. I don't need to pick up anything. I don't clean anything. And like the way that, like I was said, like the different cuts of the hair wigs and how they would shape my face would change how I was in that time. Cause I'd be like, oh, a cropped bob and she's a little bit sassier. And like this long wavy hair, she's more ethereal. And like, and it just kind of like changed. And then when she had the afro and like even the scenes kind of did that too. Like the scenes kind of, when she had the afro, she was more aggressive towards like, you know, fighting back with Barry Gordy. Like that scene is like, she's like, she walks out of a shoot, you know, and she has a little mini afro.
Right.
And it's like, okay. And that's kind of like the power. Like this is my natural hair. It probably wasn't her natural hair, but you know, but like this is her natural look. And she's being right on like about her feelings about what she's going through. So I always like costumes and hair for me are so essential to creating the character. You know, it's like you can do so much with your body and your stuff, but like I like to do my own makeup because I like to feel I'm like if the person did their own makeup, you know, like if that person did their own makeup, then like I'm like, okay, this is how I prepare as that character. And then when the hair comes on, it's like, oh, this is really the next layer of like of what I do to care for myself. Like I put myself into like their morning routine and how they perceive themselves. And so that helps you create the essence, especially of characters that are actually have been alive or are alive.
Right.
And it helps you kind of get into the essence of who they are. In my opinion, I think it's a fun thing to a fun tool to help, you know, go the extra mile. You know,
How did all your back experience with hair, did it do anything when you were directing?
Yeah, actually, I'm always...
I saw some photos of you with your hair looking however on set, but I wanted to see if it went on
I went and I looked...
You were in that...
I was in director mode. I looked beat up. I didn't wear any makeup. I didn't sleep. I was like, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. I don't know what I was thinking. But it was amazing. Yeah, I did do like the top knot and I tried to like clip in some hair and like it was like, whatever. I gave up by the end. It was 3 days of just who knows. But when I was looking at like Sierra's hair and when I was looking at Daniel Watts' hair and when I was looking at Danielle who played, there's like three main characters in the short and like all of their hair actually really mattered. Daniel was going to be doing what he was doing because like his look was already kind of exactly what we wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. And Sierra... At first she wanted to have her hair pulled back and like kind of in like a messy low bun. And I was like, at the time she had the sides of her head shaved.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love that. I think that we should really, and I was looking at her like canon of work And I was like, you don't have anything where you're showing this. Like, you, it's one of those things where you can hide it underneath. So I was like, let's show it. And like, let's lean into the fact that this is like awesome looking anyway. But I thought that that would just give her the character another texture and like another, like, this is kind of who I am. I'm a little bit not, you know, it's like, it's more of an alternative hairstyle, I guess.
Yeah, a little more badass, you know?
Yeah. So it had that little like, yeah, exactly. And I was like, let's play that. You know, we always come into, as actors, we come in a lot of times trying to be neutral.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Oh, and like, I'm a blank canvas for you. But like nowadays people really want to see kind of authentically who you are. Exactly.
I mean, so, I know for film and TV, I'm like, how did you audition? Literally. Yeah. I'm like, how did you audition? Because I cannot, you know, this creatives at these tables have seen you and have mm-hmm. pictures of that, how they saw you in that audition.
Yep.
And now you have extensions onto your butt. No, take it out.
Yeah. And I've like booked movies where they're like, okay, can we see? I was like, I'll book the movie. And then I say, they ask, the hair person will reach out to me and say like, okay, you know, can you send pictures of your hair? And I'm like, which hair? Like,
right.
And I'll send multiples and then they'll send those options to the producers, and then they will either buy a wig or like rent out my wig
yep.
from me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But like that's the cool thing about also being black. You just have so many different pieces of hair, but white girls do it too. How many do you have? Oh my God, I probably have like 30 wigs,
mm-hmm.
30 or 40.
And they're one?
Well, it's just, it's seasonal. They're seasonal, you know? Like I haven't been wearing wigs a lot lately, but I do love, like, I still do love, like, a glamorous, like, just down to the butt, like, you know, just, like, yeah. Who does she think she is wig? Like, that's literally what that wig looks like. It's just, like, this, nothing about this is giving you realism. Nothing about this is giving you natural. This is pure black Barbie, but, like, that's not, like, I'm not proud of it, but it's, like, I wear it, you know, like, around the house now, just for me. I lay in it. I do photo booth photo shoots in it by myself. Oh my God, I hate this. no, but
You're living your best life all by yourself. No,
but for me, wigs, like I like pieces. Like I like a fall. I love a fall because a fall, then you can make it look like it's you. And I've had a lot of people be like, oh my God, your hair is so healthy. And I'm like, thank you. And I'm begging you for vitamins and hair oils, like help me. But yeah, like I like pieces because I like to, you know, leave out the edges and leave it like, you know, and then blend the
rest. I haven't seen you a mess though on any carpet or anything. Like you have your shit together.
Yeah, I hire people. Yes, thank you. Thank you to everyone
who
helped me not look a goddamn fool, because I mean, and there are times that there are ones where I have done it myself and you can tell like if you, and unfortunately some of you guys are going to Google me and you're going to look at the images and you'll be like, you'll be like did that all herself. She was like, I am not spending the $250-$350 for hair and makeup today, not doing it. She was just like, I came from rehearsal, I threw on a dress and I walked that red carpet and it shows.
And it shows.
And sometimes, you know, like you call a friend and you get the whole hookup. Yeah.
Oh.
So, I know. Hot mess. Hot. So, Golding.
Well, you're doing great. You look amazing. I wish they could
see
you. I'll post some good photos of us, you know.
Oh, okay.
Together.
Make sure you get Prince. Prince is here always in spirit.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surviving. We're surviving. We're doing it. Who knows what's going to happen? I think I'm going to go start a hemp farm in Virginia. So if none of this pans out, you think I'm kidding?
No.
Apparently, I have land.
This is why.
I got my 40 acres and a mule. Just kidding. I should have, but I don't have that. I have like 8 acres and no mules, but apparently a trailer full of cats.
Oh. How do you have cats?
It was left there for my great aunt.
Oh.
Yeah. And apparently it's just like riddled with cats.
Oh.
Well, we haven't been there in like 20 years. So
I think you need to record this when you do go back finally. Like, it needs to be an episode in your life.
Oh yeah, no, I'm definitely, it's go. Like, yeah. Well, it's also, I did the demographics on the area and they're scary. It's like 82% Republican, 82% white.
Oh.
Yeah. So I would do like a mini series of docu-series of like what that would be like.
Yes.
Like, hey, waiting for like weed to be legal so I can just get into that medical marijuana situation. Even though I am a sober person. But I believe in the power of like medical marijuana.
Of course. No,
it definitely helped my aunt. And also hemp and anything sustainable. So like hemp could totally replace plastics. So I would love to be in like the sustainable goods. Wow, I can't even believe I'm talking. Like, I have not actually planned this. I'm just speaking it. Like, I think about it. I talk about it randomly to people. And now I'm just looking for a life raft. You guys can hold me to it.
A year from now, we're going to get our gloves from, you know.
A year from now, I'm going to have a Quibi series that is about dealing with trying to get a new startup in Virginia, in Spotsylvania.
Oh my gosh.
Coming out of Quibi near you. Eight minute episodes. Yeah. Being creative, guys. Don't stop being creative.
Not on our watch.
No.
I mean, look at, here we are.
Eggs are dying as we have got to get it done.
This.
Can I also tell everyone to buy property? Well, don't bid against me. Like, soon everything's going to crash. So just, if you have the ability, go buy some stuff.
See, you hear it.
40 acres and a mule. Get it.
Oh, like, what is, I don't even know.
It's gotten so dark in your apartment, by the way. Like,
oh, yes. No,
it's very,
all right.
Yeah, where's the light?
I'm in the middle of the building.
Oh, I see. Oh, I was like,
not even plugged in.
Don't even worry about it. The light is still perfect on your face. I can see you.
That's all I mean. Okay, I'll make it a little brighter. Okay.
Nope.
You're good. White. Good. So I don't even know the segue for this one. No.
Apologize.
No.
What am I talking about?
Your most memorable moment. Like, what is, like, when you like think back on your career, like, mm-hmm. what is one of those, like, this is like you had to take it in?
I mean, definitely when we talked about the leap of faith moment, that mm-hmm. was beautiful. But I think returning to the theater, when I had my opening night as Eliza, and I love Eliza. I love her. I love how complicated she is and how strong she is and how big she loves. And she's so many of the things that I want to be, you know, as a woman. You know, I want to be an activist. I want to support people. I want to love deeply. Like her children and keeping on her own legacy, not just like the one that her man started, but like the fact that she still has a functioning foster care system that she started in the 1800s. Like, I love that. And I think the gravity of being away from Broadway for 3.5 years, almost 4 years, and then coming back and getting to do a role that I love so much and like having them take the risk, I guess, or whatever. You know, I always feel like you just never know. You know, you do an audition and, you know, people are kind of believing in you. The people that are believing in me is Alex Lacamoire and Tommy Kail and Lin-Manuel Miranda. And having that, like being like, hey, you're our leading lady. That is like such an honor to be able to even have that. And so when I was singing the last song, which always is so strong, like prevalent to me, who lives, who dies, who tells your story, and those words and like the legacies that we try to create and the bonds that we make and how we all die in the end and we all pass on and we are all trying to connect with each other, and that the end of this moment, the end of the show for her is connecting with everyone she loves, and it's on stage, it's like everyone of her history, like it's kind of revealed that she's kind of been the one telling this story, because she is the one that continue to push for him to have a legacy. So looking around, and I have to walk up and I look around at all of the people that have just told this story, looking at all my castmates, looking at all these incredible talents, and looking at all this, this wide swath of colors, black, white, Asian, Latino, like everything, Middle Eastern, like there's just so many beautiful things happening on that stage. I pretty much cry every
time.
I try not to, but that for the first one, I was just like, I could barely squeak out the last bits of words. And she, the show ends on a gasp, you know, sorry if you didn't know that. But spoiler alert, and it's, you know, she's reaching out and she's gasping and it's like, it's her last breath. And it's just like, but she's happy and she's connected. And then she's of all things and taking that in and just having that moment with everyone and having that moment every single night is just so beautiful. Like I woke up this morning and I said to myself, I said, the minute I step on stage, I'm going to burst into tears. I'm going to have to figure out a way to not burst into tears the minute that I get to do this again. What this experience has given me is a massive dose of gratitude. I think I've been learning a lot about gratitude the last few years, but this has been gratitude. I'm grateful for all of my friends and family that are surviving this COVID-19. Mm. I have friends that have lost parents, that have lost their mothers and fathers. Like I have friends that have lost so many people already and have lost several people within their family. I am grateful for the time that I get to share. I'm grateful for the fact that I get to sit and across from you and have this moment with you and be a part of something that you've created. I'm grateful that I can just listen to whatever is coming next down the pipeline from God or the spirits or the muses that are going to use me in a purposeful way. So I'm just sitting in my gratitude, trying to find ways to continue to be excited and trying to find ways to always find moments that spark joy. And I would just say that like being back in the theater, and then I know that I'm going to experience something like that again when I get to go back.
That was really heartfelt over here.
Mm. Well,
I can't even think.
I am a good actress. I pretended to care. No, I'm just kidding. No, that was all true. That was all true. I swear.
My God.
I swear. No, absorb that, everybody. That was for all of you. That's for all of us.
Really good. I had a question and then it just went. So that went. Mm-hmm. I was too busy listening to you.
I'm sermonizing. Is that what it's
really
called?
Are.
Prophesizing.
Jeez. All right, leap of faith.
All right. Hey. Okay. Nope.
Oh, no.
Step out on the ledge.
Take that leap and then rain for 20 minutes.
It's tricky. It's tricky these days, those lyrics.
What else? What are things you want to do that you haven't touched on yet? Like what kind of role?
I love TV. I've always been a big fan of films and TV. So I think I would just love to do more of that.
I watched When You Get Away with Murder. That should be you.
So, everyone gets us confused. I'm walking down the street and they're like, are you on How to Get Away with Murder? I'm like, nope. And I actually have a photo of us, Agent Naomi King on my Instagram. Like, I'm not her. She's not me. She's like, I get you all the time. I was like, yeah, but I'm sure I get you more. Like, yeah, so.
It should be you. I was mad.
Oh, thank you.
I was mad the whole, still. So,
I think that there are, the more that I get more authentic with me and who I am, I think that things are opening up more. You know, like, I think there was a time in our even, like, recent history in media, Black is portrayed as one thing. You know, like, there's the Kerry Washingtons, or there's, like, the Viola Davises, you know, or there's like this kind of like, oh, translucent Black person, or like a very Black person, you know? And so now I think that we're finally opening up the ways that we see Black people and the narratives around Black people. And I'm getting excited because I feel like there's more space for me now. It's not so like left field. They're like, oh, a Black girl that sang punk and jazz and does all these other like random things. Like it's not so bizarre now. It's like, no, there's a lot of us that are like Black girl nerds is a thing. Like, you know, like there's so many things that are kind of opening up that I'm kind of like, okay, now we're being able and allowed to be viewed as more things. Now we have more Black and brown creators that are like, hey, we're not like the media will portray us as certain ways. And like, there's like, oh, the one that's allowed to be in these, you know, white spaces, or the one that's allowed to like carry a narrative. But as long as they're surrounded by non people of color, then it's okay. So I feel like there's a lot of things coming down the pipeline. The stuff I audition for, the stuff that I work on, like I'm getting really excited to just see more of me out there. Mm-hmm. And so I don't even know what's possible. Like I know that there's more, and I also love creating, and I'd like to create more stuff for myself. And tell stories, like, and also I don't need to act like all the time. Like I love directing. I would love to direct more. I'd love to produce more and give people the voice that they deserve. And I love working with actors. Like I just love talking about stories and how to get to from point A to point B emotionally, and how I think it's a study of psychology. Is acting is a study of human behavior.
Pretty much.
And so just watching that and being able to commune with actors and artists about that and is just really cool to me. So yeah, there's so many things I want to do. And God willing, I'll get to do them. And I want to start businesses and do all the things. And I love mentoring. I love doing charity things. I'm mentoring. Oh, if people want to go and mentor with me or get a voice lesson, they can go to my website, the KJB. Yeah. We'll give it to you. But I love people. I love the way our weird, crazy minds work. And I like to study it. I like to write about it. And I like to dissect it. So any way that I can, I will. And as long as like they let me do it, you know, that's great. And if they don't let me do it, then I'll just do it myself.
Right. I'm like, you're going to make it happen anyway, yeah. Whether someone gives you the permission or not. You're always that go-getter, doing it yourself, yeah. doing more.
Yeah. So, yeah. Trying to.
Well, you are amazing. Thanks for doing this.
Oh my God. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on. I love you. I love watching your journey. And everything that you've done, and all the amazing people that you've been working with, and you get hired all the time by the same people because they love you, because they love what you do, and the energy and the joy that you bring is just like unparalleled. So we're always lucky to have a Danny in our corner, and so God bless you. Thank you for all that you do. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you, everyone. Crystal Joy Brown. I'm sure she'll be back again. Woo. Oh, yeah.
Crowd goes mild. Yes.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Wig Hackers Podcast with your host, me, Daniel Coy. I really appreciate you being here and listening to this beautiful podcast that we had. I had so much fun doing it. Make sure you find us on all of the podcasting stations. Tell your friends, family. They'll get a hoot and a holler out of it, that's for sure. And you'll learn something about being backstage on a Broadway show on this one. So please check out on social media. I would love to hear from you. Tell me your thoughts. Tell me your questions. Do you have questions you want me to ask people? And when I do follow-up interviews, just let me know. And remember, everyone, I am always watching.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.